Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. Week three is almost in the book. We just got Monday Night Football to go. But of course, that means it is Dynasty Risers and Fallers time. I'm back. I've got five risers, five fallers. Whose Dynasty value is changing the most? You can see on the screen, we're going to start positive this week. We're going to go with the risers up top. Sam Laporte, how can he not be a riser? Another phenomenal performance. He was number two in target share at the position so far this year at 22.7%. He's number two in targets overall. He is tight end two on the season. He is a top eight dynasty tight end for me. I think, look, I'm the first person that says tight ends start slow. We've got to be careful not to invest too much in them too early because young tight ends normally disappoint. This guy is breaking records through 3 weeks. Most tight ends for a rookie at the most receptions at the tight end position for a rookie. He's been incredible. He's a top eight dynasty tight end for me. And honestly, if he keeps continuing to go the way he has been, he could easily get into that, you know, Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, Pat Freiermuth. You know, he's in the tier with them at the moment, but he could easily jump ahead of all of those guys and get in the Kelce Mark Andrews world. The second big riser, Tank Dell. You know I'm a big Tank Dell fan. You know I loved him coming out. Everybody else is slagging off the size, the concerns. Look, he's just producing. He led the Texans in targets yet again. He's got 18.3% target share on the season. This guy just consistently gets open. He is, you know, you moved around. The Texans have done an incredible job at basically getting him free releases, whether it be from motions, whether it be from stacking him, lining him up in the slot. He's not having to face any of these physical corners because he's getting those free release. And you know the most exciting thing about Tank Dell? There's still room to grow. He's only getting 60.7% of the snaps at the moment. That could easily increase. We've seen, you know, yes, Nico Collins is looking like a star. Robert Woods is in because he's the best blocker of the receiver room. But if Tank Dell can become a, you know, maybe an 80% snap player, his dynasty value is going to go through the roof. So, yeah, Tank Dell climbing the ranks at the moment. Zach Moss, look, I don't particularly love Zach Moss, the player. I didn't coming out. I didn't when he was with the Bills. I don't particularly love the player, but he's a volley producer. He's averaging 24 rush attempts and 3.5 targets a game at the moment. How many players are getting 27 touches per game? It is absolutely wild. He's averaging 88.7% opportunity share, 126 scrimmage yards per game. The guy's just producing. And yes, potentially Jonathan Taylor's going to be back in a week or two. But what if the Colts decide to trade him? We've heard rumours that the price has dropped. They're now considered less than a first-round pick. If Jonathan Taylor is traded over the next 2 weeks, then Zach Moss becomes an immediate Dynasty League winner. You can probably go and get him for, I mean, you've probably got to pay a second right now, but could you move, you know, another piece plus a third? Could you move a couple of thirds? Like, that's the kind of guy that you can go and get. Plug in as your RB2, and he could easily carry to a title down the stretch. The next guy, another height weight concern, another guy that the team are using in interesting ways to basically use the assets that he's got, and that's Devon Achan, not Achain, as he's now been asked to speak. The most exciting thing was, yes, he had blew up in a massive way. I mean, anyone who watched that Dolphins game cannot be impressed. But I was so impressed at the way that they were consistently using him. It wasn't a case of, you know, we're going to use him as a traditional running back, running between the tackles. We might get him a little bit out in space. Almost every single touch was get him in a good, advantageous position. They got him on the edge. They got him in the passing game. He had 18 carries on Sunday. Only three crossed the line of scrimmage between the tackles. They were getting him outside the tackles in space where, you know, he's getting that open field one-on-one with slower defenders. And when you're running a 4-3 and you're getting in space, you know that you're going to the house. So yeah, really excited about what Achan can be over the coming weeks and months. Jake Ferguson rounds out the five rivals. Second week on the trot that he's found himself in here. He's the second target on Dallas. You know, we had this conversation all off season. Who's it going to be? Michael Gallup, Brandon Cooks? Well, the answer is Jake Ferguson. 18.2% target share. He's tight end 10 on the season. But the most exciting thing is he leads the league in red zone targets. He's got 8 red zone targets through 3 games. The next highest is 5. It is absolutely wild the way that he's using. Dak Prescott seems to like him. And yeah, I'm really excited about what Jake Ferguson can be moving forward into the rest of this season and beyond. I think he's a young tight end that you can probably still go and get because he's not had that massive blow-up week where he scored a whole host of points. Time to be negative. Time to start some foolers, shall we say. And look, I'm a Jets fan. I'm a long-suffering Jets fan. But Zach Wilson, he was on last week and I sort of said I was done. I think his dynasty value's gone. But, you know, he was still a starting quarterback. Well, he is now officially done, okay? As a dynasty asset, as a starting quarterback, whatever, he's gone. I think the Jets maybe give him one more start, but I don't expect anything to happen after that. I think he's now in a position where normally a first-round drafted quarterback hangs around in the league as a backup. You know, Blaine Gabbert's still a backup quarterback somewhere. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be that guy. I think he's going to go the Josh Rosen route where he's probably going to fall out of the league when the Jets move on from him after this season. So I think as a dynasty asset, look, he's a starting quarterback and I wouldn't pay a third for him right now, which shows you how little I value him right now. The other one, now this might surprise some people, Russell Wilson. Obviously, the Broncos got absolutely embarrassed on Sunday. Russell Wilson didn't have that bad a game. I think, you know, any time a team's conceding 70 points, the argument is that it's probably the defense that were embarrassed rather than the quarterback. But Sean Payton's come in place. He's 0-3. Something has got to change in Denver. Sean Payton's not just going to sit there and play out the year and see where they're at. Something's going to change. And for me, the most obvious person who's going to be the fall guy is Russell Wilson. He's not playing well. They've got Jared Stidham. Now, Jared Stidham may not be a superstar, but they paid him decent money. You know, 2 years, $10 million, $5 million guaranteed. That's decent money for paying backup quarterback. If Russell Wilson was released at the end of the season as a post June 1st, it would only accelerate $17 million onto the cap. It's not nice. You know, we're talking $39 million cap hit, 35.4 next year, but it's sunk cost. You know, that money's gone. They're paying him that anyway. Why not accelerate it? You have a bad year and Sean Payton can really build this thing the way Sean Payton wants to do, not tied to a quarterback with an albatross of a contract. So yeah, I don't think his production has dropped. I don't think his value has necessarily dropped now, but this is me thinking, I don't think Russell Wilson is going to be a starting quarterback in probably 18 months time. This is almost a bit like the Justin Fields conversation we had 2 weeks ago. I would rather get out of this quarterback before the drop comes. So yeah, Russell Wilson, his dynasty value is starting to drop. I don't think he's a top 24 dynasty quarterback right now. The next guy, man, this hurts to do this, but Jahan Dotson, you know, I was a massive fan of him coming out as a rookie. I loved what he did last year. Yes, he was very touchdown dependent, but I thought that there was going to be an increase in volume. Well, through 3 weeks, no Washington player has over a 17.5% target share. Jahan Dotson is the wide receiver 72, yes, 72 in scoring. And he hasn't put up a top 36 weeks. He is absolutely killing me, and I'm sure he's probably killing your fantasy lineup. His dynasty value's dropped. I'd still pay a first for him. I still believe in the talent. I still believe that this Washington offense is going to turn it around. But, you know, Sam Howell, he's currently averaging minus 0.3 EPA per dropback. So yeah, something needs to change there. Maybe we get, you know, a couple more weeks of bad Sam Howell. I think it could be Jacoby Brissett time. And if that happens, then I think Jahan Dotson's value is going to skyrocket. So yeah, maybe it's a, you know, wait another week or two, and then maybe you can look at buying low on Jahan Dotson. I'd certainly buy if anyone's willing to sell him for a second right now. The next guy, number 4 on the list, as you can see right there, Derrick Henry. Look, I was shocked, but it is a genuine timeshare now. Derrick Henry, 53.4% of snaps. He's not seen under 62% for the last 4 years. He's averaging 13.6 weighted opportunities per game this year. That's down from 16.6 over each of the last 3 years. And I've got a question for you. Derrick Henry, could he be traded this season? The Titans are 1-2. We know that they've invested in a young quarterback. I don't know if Mike Vrabel's someone that will tank, but could we see this entire team turn over and become slightly more youth-focused? Tyshae Spears is there. He's producing. I wonder if they could look at maybe trading Derrick Henry and bringing somebody else, you know, through underneath, bring Tyshae Spears in. Could they trade Derrick Henry to the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Ravens, someone like that that's had that big running back injury? Derrick Henry could almost be that mercenary, you know, that gun for hire, go to a contending team, see if he can get that title. I don't know if I can guarantee Derrick Henry is on the Titans in 2 months' time. So, yeah, his dynasty value is falling because at the moment he's in a timeshare. The final guy, Alexander Mattison. Look, I'll admit I wasn't a big fan of Mattison coming into season. I'm quite happy with my take on that. But I sat here last week and I said, I don't buy into the Akers trade. Look at the price. It was basically nothing. I think this is still Alexander Mattison's backfield. I'll take a big L on that. I think now this Akers trade is something. Mattison's averaging 16.6 weighted opportunities per game, but is only averaging 11.9 fantasy points. He has got the lowest Duke rate out of 66 qualifying players at 2%. To put that into English for you, he has forced one missed tackle on 50 touches. That is insane. That is so bad. It shows that he is basically getting what is given and falling down at the first tackle. I think, you know, quite frankly, a poor referee's decision in terms of turning that fumble back to him, saying that forward progress was stopped on Sunday, is what's, you know, potentially hidden an impressive fantasy line. I don't know that Alexander Mattison is going to be a bell cow back that he's been through three games for the rest of the season. So, yeah, his dynasty value is falling for me, and I'm very concerned about him once Cam Akers is up to speed. Those are my five risers. Those are my five fallers. Who do you disagree with? Let us know in the comments below. If you're here and you've not hit that thumbs up, come on, do us a solid, do us a favour, and also hit that subscribe while you're there. But we'll be back later in the week. We've got plenty more content coming your way.